Hey guys, it's Barack Lesnar of Barack Lesnar Hoops, bringing you the nightly notables for December 16th, 2020. I'm going to discuss really the games that stood out to me. If you could do me a favor, I just started a podcast version of this segment, and I'm also be doing a podcast version of my other audio video content. For those of you who like to commute and just prefer the podcast format, I will be doing that daily as well. It's going to be the same content, but just making it available to you in different platforms, wherever you prefer. It's currently available on Anchor, Spotify, or you could just go to my website, BarackLesnarHoops.com, and you can actually find it there. It'll be uploaded there. Every time I upload, it automatically uploads there. So please check it out. Let's get right to these games, and let's see how quickly we can get through this. All right. So Reggie Bullock made my list for his ability to hit some three-pointers. He gets you some steals. He was minus 12 in the minutes he got, but he was starting this game due to the injury to Alec Burks. So just wanted to point him out as somebody you may want to pick up in a really deep league for his ability to hit three-pointers and get you some steals. Julius Randle, not one of my favorite fantasy basketball players, but he's pretty good at the stuff he helps you at. Normally a high field goal percentage. He shot 70%. His free throw percentage can be suspect. Typical free throw percentage there. Normally maybe low 70s is more likely in my opinion. 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Do like the steal and the block, though he was minus 9 in the minutes that he played. Mitchell Robinson, on the other hand, I know a lot of people that have been picking up Mitchell Robinson are going to love to see that he had a Mitchell Robinson had a great performance. He had 13 points, 10 rebounds. He did almost fall out in the minutes that he played, but in 32 minutes, you can really see why people have picked him up, and this is the upside that they see in him. 4 blocks, 10 rebounds, the 13 points, really nice stat line. Keep in mind, Nerlens Noel was not playing, but I think regardless, they're both going to get 23 to 25 minutes per game, and I think both are usable players. The difference is Mitchell Robinson will probably cost you a top 3 or 4 round pick, while you can get Nerlens Noel a whole lot later. And because of that, I think Nerlens Noel has more value, even if Mitchell Robinson potentially has the better season. It remains to be seen. RJ Barrett continues to have a pretty strong preseason so far. Made 6 of his 12 shots. Only one of his 4 three-pointers, but the 6 rebounds, the 2 assists. Can't scoff at that. No steals and blocks. Not something you really grab him expecting. It would boost his fantasy value significantly if he did that, though. He had 16 points. Elfrid Payton had a rough game. He was minus 7 in the minutes he played. In comparison, RJ Barrett being plus 13 and Mitchell Robinson being plus 10. Elfrid Payton was outplayed in this game by Dennis Smith Jr., who in his minutes got you 5 steals and 2 blocks. So I think there's a competition there for that point guard role. And if Dennis Smith Jr. continues to play like that, Tom Thibodeau is very likely going to give him the keys to that offense, because Elfrid Payton has a higher floor, but has limited upside compared to Dennis Smith Jr. And keep in mind, Tom Thibodeau, if I remember correctly, is who made Derrick Rose an MVP. So Dennis Smith Jr. is that kind of mold, really athletic point guard, really explosive. Hasn't put it all together yet, but maybe this is the year we see it. Emmanuel Quickly got 25 minutes in this game, and while he missed most of his shots, the 7 assists stood out to me as notable. He was plus 19 in the minutes he played, had the highest plus minus based on what I saw. Definitely had a strong game and somebody else to keep an eye on, especially in a much deeper format, if he continues to get minutes during the regular season, because he got more minutes than Dennis Smith Jr., so that's something to keep in mind. Kevin Knox, we had a Kevin Knox sighting. He had 16 points in his 22 minutes, had a pretty decent game. Obi Toppin, outside of the 7 rebounds and 8 points, did not do a whole lot, but he did get 31 minutes almost in this game. Looks like he's getting more minutes than Kevin Knox, so he may have some upside because of that, but I personally am excited about other rookies other than Obi. Is it Obi or Obi? Let me know below. On the Cavaliers, Thon Maker had, we had a Thon Maker sighting, had almost 26 minutes. He had a block. He took 2 3-pointers. He missed 5 of his 6 shots. I don't know if he's going to get sufficient playing time to help your team at all, but in a really deep format, his ability to hit threes and get you some blocks may be useful. So keep that in mind. Isaac Okoro continues to rise my list of potential rookie targets. He was +3 in the minutes he got, scored 10 points, made 3 of his 5 shots, hit 2 3-pointers, had 2 steals, and he's quickly becoming a guy you want to consider. I think he's going to be in the race for rookie of the year, and on a Cavaliers team that really has nothing to play for other than lottery balls, they have all the incentive in the world to give him a lot of minutes. So far, he's really been producing. He played almost 30 minutes. That bodes really well for his playing time during the regular season. He may be a guy that's on the radar now in a 12-team league with like your last pick. If you believe in his upside, I'd be more comfortable in a 14-team league until I see the Cavaliers a little more healthy to see how his minutes look then. Andre Drummond had an amazing stat line, in my opinion. The field goal percentage, not great, but he's normally a guy that'll get you closer to 50-51%. He did make a 3-pointer, so unicorn alert. If Andre Drummond starts hitting 3-pointers, that's going to be a tremendous boost to his fantasy value and somebody I'm very excited to have on my team. I showed you guys in my fantasy punt free throw build where I picked him over Rudy Gobert. And I think this is the reason why. He just has higher upside to really be a top 10 player. And I think Rudy Gobert has the potential to be a top 20 player, but he's not dynamic enough to be a top 10 player. While I do see that in Andre Drummond. And if you see here, made 3 of his 4 free throws. So the thing he normally hurt you in, he really helped you in this game. And it's notable he hit 5 assists, was +17 and scored 18 points. Really strong game from Drummond. Very excited to see this sort of performance, and he did it in about 21 minutes. So that is the upside that a player like Drummond presents. Darius Garland is another guy who's really been performing with the minutes the Cavaliers are giving him. He made only 4 of his 13 shots, but I really like the 5 assists. I like the steal, 13 points, and he was +20 in the minutes that he played. So very strong performance. He's had a very strong preseason and is somebody that's likely going to get a lot of minutes playing with Colin Sexton and hopefully Kevin Porter Jr. When he's healthy, we can get some minutes for him as well. They all have huge upside. They have a lot of young guys with upside, but it remains to be seen who gets what role and who's getting what usage and who's getting these minutes, because Colin Sexton and Kevin Porter Jr. has definitely allowed Darius Garland more opportunity than perhaps he will have during the regular season. And here we can see D Wade in on the Cleveland Cavaliers, and that would be D for Dean, Mr. Dean Wade. That was notable to me for sure. He was -3, but he did have 9 points, took 5 3-pointers, hit 3 of them. 4 rebounds, had a steal and a block. That definitely stood out to me. Is he going to have value during the regular season? My guess is no, because of all the young players that I just mentioned. But got to give a shout out to the steal, the block, the 3-pointers. You know we love those. Speaking of rookies that are having a strong preseason, Mr. Patrick Williams got the start. Otto Porter Jr. went to the bench. And you may remember a few videos ago I told you, if the Bulls were performing that badly, we may see some changes with Patrick Williams starting. I thought it may be Lauri Markkanen that would go to the bench, but no, it was Otto Porter Jr., and that seems to have done a lot of good, because if you can see here, the Bulls had a great game. Patrick Williams was +13, had 2 blocks, 7 rebounds, hit a 3-pointer, hit 6 of his 9 shots. That is a really nice stat line right there for fantasy purposes. The 3 turnovers to 0 assists, not the greatest, but the +13 is really nice. Lauri Markkanen, not a guy that I'm drafting or will be drafting in many of my leagues, because I think he's going to hurt my percentages and just doesn't get me the steals and blocks numbers that I like. And I think I can get somebody like Davis Bertans a little later on who has similar issues, but I don't have to pick him as high as you pick Lauri Markkanen. Though it has to be noted, he was +23, so he helped his team out a lot while he was playing. But again, not a steals and blocks guy. That's why I tend to avoid him. Wendell Carter Jr. has underwhelmed this preseason, to be honest. I'm really hoping he gets it together, because I believe in him. I believe in his upside. Haven't really seen it so far. Still early on in the year. Dealt with injuries last year, but before those injuries, he's a guy that was being drafted pretty high up there. It still cost you a pick in the 90, I'd say in the 90, maybe 80 range, but he hasn't been performing to that level yet. I'm hoping to see it. Zach LaVine had a tremendous performance. He was plus 18, scored 24 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, and a block. Made 3 of his 6 three-pointers. Definitely love to see that. Shot 64%. Definitely love to see that. And he worked well in tandem with Kobe White, who hit 11 of his 17 shots for almost 65%. Combined, they both hit 8 of the 14 three-pointers they took together. Definitely love to see that. That level of shooting and just dynamic athleticism. Love to see it. It looks like Otto Porter Jr. going to the bench may have been what the doctor ordered. And he had a strong performance himself. He played on 22 minutes, had 12 rebounds, 4 assists. He did miss both of his three-pointers, and the field goal percentage wasn't the greatest. But he was plus 19, so he was helping his team out when he was playing. And that may be the role for him. We may see him be the sixth man instead of Lauri Markkanen, like I was predicting. So keep an eye on that. That would probably hurt Otto Porter Jr.'s value, even though you can grab him pretty late. It is nice to see he play 22 minutes. That's a good sign for his health. And considering how late he goes, he's a guy that helps your percentages, can get you threes, can get you some steals and some blocks. Even off the bench, he could have some value considering where he's being drafted. On the Thunder, I've seen a lot of love for Darius Bazley, a lot of hype for him, and Lukas Dort, and neither one of them had a very strong game. They did only play about 18 minutes apiece, but you have to keep in mind Chris Paul is no longer on this team, and he may have made them look a lot better in the bubble than they actually are. They're very high upside players, but I don't think we're going to see that upside this year, so keep that in mind. Al Horford had a pretty strong game. 15 points, 7 rebounds, an assist, and a steal. He did that in only 15 minutes, made 6 of his 10 shots, and hit 2 three-pointers. That is a great stat line, and Al Horford can be gotten pretty late. So if you think he's going to have a secure role on that team and you think he's going to play minutes and you're not worried about him being rested at the end of the year, he's not a terrible target in the 80 to 90 range. I won't be drafting him. I think he's on the decline for his career, and I think he's going to be sitting a lot towards the end of the season. But it can't be denied that if he does manage to get 25 to 30 minutes and they do decide to play him, and that they're bad enough even with him playing, he could be a very usable fantasy big man for you, for his ability to, again, get you some blocks. He can get you some assists. Reminds me a lot of Marc Gasol in their prime. They put up very similar production. Lukas Dort, who we just talked about, missed all 7 of his shots. He was minus 6. Definitely not a great performance from him, which was notable to me. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was minus 9, had 12 points, made 4 of his 8 shots, missed all of his 3-pointers, and missed 2 of his free throws. And I'm starting to get the vibe that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander may be like De'Aaron Fox, where he has a lot of hype, but just doesn't live up to it. Chris Paul's no longer there. Danilo Gallinari's no longer there. Dennis Schroeder's no longer there. They lost a lot of talent, which means the defense is going to key in on him and may make the game rougher for him. I think he can still have a great season, but he's going so high that I think the risk is a lot higher than some of the other guys you can get around that range. On the Lakers, it was great to see Talen Horton-Tucker. Let's talk about him right away. Have another strong performance. He was plus 12, scored 18 points, had a steal and a block, made all 4 of his free throws, hit 7 of his 11 shots. Took the 2 three-pointers, though he missed both. But he continues to do well, and I'm really hoping he's able to secure a starting role on that team. Not saying it's going to happen, but I've picked him up in a few of my leagues, including a dynasty league, and he's really showing out so far. So keep an eye on him, because he may just force himself into a sizable role. Kyle Kuzma, somebody who's had a pretty decent preseason, but as you can see here, he was minus 5, scored 23 points, no steals or blocks, took 8 three-pointers and hit 4 of them, and that's kind of what you get with Kyle Kuzma. You get one-dimensional scoring. He's going to hit three-pointers, but he's not going to do a whole lot else. I'm hoping Talen Horton-Tucker gets some of his minutes. LeBron James, included him on here. Really nothing that notable about his performance. LeBron James is LeBron James. He played limited minutes. Montrezl Harrell. I guess what was notable is, you know, Horton Tucker and LeBron, I'm hoping they get minutes together. I think they fit in really well together. LeBron's really high on him, and Talen Horton Tucker is clutch. He's with the Clutch Agency, which, you know, is LeBron's agency. So LeBron may be pushing for him to have a bigger role than people realize. Just keep that in mind. Montrezl Harrell had a really strong game. I don't know if he's going to be coming off of the bench the entire season, but it does look like he's a better player at this point in their respective careers than Marc Gasol. They may keep Marc Gasol out there just for defensive purposes and keep Montrezl Harrell as a sixth man, but he was plus 13, two steals, a block, six rebounds, five of his eight shots. That's a typical Montrezl Harrell stat line. That's the sort of efficiency I expect. I expect some steals, some blocks, some decent rebounding numbers from him in a 25 to 30 minute per game role. Quinn Cook, I highlighted him here as notable for his ability to hit three-pointers in a really deep league where you need a point guard, maybe a 20-team league. He's somebody you may want to consider for his ability to shoot. And as long as he can hit three-pointers, he's one of the better shooters on the team. He may have a large enough role where he makes sense in a 20-team league where you're really picking from low-level role players. On the Suns, Michael Bridges. You know, you guys know I love me some Michael Bridges. He was plus 15, had 10 points, three rebounds, three assists. I missed five of his 7 3-pointers, six of his 9 shots, but I do love to see him taking 7 3-pointers. He's going to shoot more efficiently than that. And I love his steals and blocks potential. He only got a block this game, but normally he's a guy I count on to get me 1.5 steals or more. That's what I expect from him. And with Kelly Oubre gone, I think he could slide in and play that Kelly Oubre role. Jay Crowder, a new addition to the team. Not somebody I'm drafting, but maybe worthy of consideration in maybe a 14-team league or a 16-team league. I'd say a 16-team league, honestly. He was minus 2 in the minutes that he played, but he did hit 3 of his 6 three-pointers. DeAndre Ayton had a pretty monstrous game in 25 minutes, made 8 of his 10 shots. Had 9 rebounds, 4 steals, scored 21 points, very limited minutes, was plus 11. In the minutes he played. Devin Booker was plus 21. And Devin Booker had 7 assists, 16 points. Really strong performance outside of the field goal percentage, though he did shoot 2 of his 5 three-pointers, 40%, not bad at all. Drew 6 free throws, hit all of them, not bad at all. What I tend to not like is his lack of steals and blocks, which is why I'm not comfortable picking him in like the top 12. I think I'd rather wait and pick somebody like Zach LaVine a whole round later or two later and pick somebody else like Kawhi Leonard, Jimmy Butler, one of those guys, than to pick Devin Booker. I think his lack of steals is going to limit his upside as a top 10 pick. Just my prediction. I may be wrong. He could be a Damian Lillard type player where he just ends up, despite not having a lot of steals and blocks, he just ends up being a top 10 player. That's very possible. I personally am not drafting him that high though. Chris Paul had another not a great performance, had 5 turnovers. He was plus 9, but missed 5 of his 6 shots, and he hasn't had the greatest preseason so far. That's why I'm not drafting him. I'm always concerned with those older players. I remember Steve Nash every single season seemed to do great. I wouldn't draft him because he was old, and I'd end up regretting not drafting him. Then he got traded to the Lakers, and then the decline was instant. These older point guards, when they hit their decline, it tends to be a steep decline, and I just rather not take the risk. I'd rather go for young players on the upswing than take a chance on somebody like Chris Paul when he's going in the top 40 from what I'm seeing. Javon Carter's on this list. It was notable he took 8 three-pointers, though he was minus 21. So if this team is competing for a playoff spot, he can't be minus 21 if he wants a sizable role. But it was notable that he took 8 three-pointers. On the Blazers, Derrick Jones Jr., somebody that continues to start for the Blazers, had 2 blocks. He's a bit of a streaky player, but he does have the ability to hit three-pointers, get you steals and blocks. Not incredibly excited for his upside, though, but in a 14-team league or deeper, he may be worthy of consideration. Robert Covington Jr., one of my favorite players and definitely a unicorn for his ability to hit three, steals, and blocks. A little undersized for a power forward, but he makes it work. He was -9 in the minutes he played, but I'm not worried for him long term. Joseph Nurkić. I am a little more worried for Joseph Nurkić, and let's be honest, he has huge upside, and when he's healthy, he's one of the best fantasy centers, potentially a top 15 guy easily. But I do have concerns. The fact that he had a very gruesome leg injury and he did not play he hasn't played a full season yet. The bubble's a little different than the grind of a full season. So I guess that's where he's going, where he's going. If his health wasn't a question mark, he'd probably be going in the top 20. He did only play 20 minutes in this game, which is a little concerning for me. Would have hoped to see slightly more minutes, but maybe they just want to keep him fresh for the regular season. But in those limited minutes, he got you 8 rebounds, 2 steals, was -12 in those minutes. CJ McCollum, somebody else who has some injury concerns because of his back, at 4 steals, 2 blocks, definitely notable to me. I think the injury concerns are overstated and that he's going to have a really strong season. Damian Lillard had an off game. He was -22 in his minutes. Definitely not something you can typically expect. Shot 35%, missed 7 of his 8 three-pointers. Damian Lillard is a safe top 8 pick. Do not concern yourself with a preseason performance like this because it's not going to mean a whole lot. Carmelo Anthony was notable to me with the 2 steals and the block. Love to see that. He had 14 points. Enes Kanter was notable because he got 24 minutes, had more minutes than Joseph Nurkić, and he had 14 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, shot 75%, never going to be a steals and blocks guy, hit both of his free throws, but he helps you in your percentages. He's a guy you grab if he's getting minutes for his ability to get a high field goal percentage and a large free throw percentage as well. Is he going to get minutes? I don't know. He's competing with Harry Giles Jr. He got a good amount of minutes this game. I would feel a lot more comfortable in a situation where Joseph Nurkić is injured. I would take a flyer on Enes Kanter, but he's so limited defensively. He was -16 in the minutes he played. It's possible he doesn't get a sizable enough role to be useful to you outside of very deep formats. And last but not least, wanted to discuss the Denver Nuggets. Some decent performances. Michael Porter Jr. was +11, shot 43%, hit 2 3-pointers, got you a block. Michael Porter Jr., in my opinion, he's being drafted too highly because this team is pretty loaded and has a lot of mouths to feed. So it seems a little crazy to me to take Michael Porter Jr. when you could take Tobias Harris possibly a round or two later, and you can pick a safer option where Michael Porter Jr. is being drafted. I liked him a whole lot more when he was going around the 80 range, but now that he's going around the 40-50 range, I think that's a little too steep for him, and I think I would hold off on and pick up Tobias Harris if you want that type of production that Michael Porter Jr. I expect him to have. I think it's Tobias Harris type production. Paul Millsap had a very strong game. Comeback game for him. He was +14, had 18 points, a steal, a block, hit 2 3-pointers, and 6 of his 10 shots. Definitely the kind of performance we like to see from him. He's definitely worthy of a flyer if you lack big men and you're on your very last pick and he's available. I would definitely take a flyer on him. In 14 team leagues or more, I think he's definitely a do draft player, must draft player. In a 12 team league, I don't think he's necessarily must draft. Unless he continues to perform like this, which is a big if. He is up there in age. He's not getting younger. Nikola Jokic, had to include him because he's one of my favorite fantasy players and real NBA players. He's a unicorn in his own right. 2 3-pointers, 10 rebounds, and 11 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 blocks. The 5 turnovers isn't great, but just an all-around great box score performance that'll help you. And it's so easy to build around Nikola Jokic because he's so good in so many different areas. Gary Harris was notable to me because he got the start and he played over 25 minutes. He missed 5 of his 8 shots, but he got you 2 steals, a block, and he hit a 3-pointer. And if he gets that starting role on the Nuggets, I like his ability to produce without needing a lot of usage. He's going to hit some open threes. He's going to get you steals. He's going to get you blocks. And considering you could probably grab him with your very last pick in the 12-team league, if he gets a starting role, he's somebody you want to strongly consider. People are down on him because of the injury concerns he dealt with last year, but before that, Gary Harris is a guy you picked in the top 50 or 60. I remember trying to convince people that Buddy Hield had Gary Harris type potential to help your team, and people laughed at me because Gary Harris was that good. And now you have him not being drafted, and Buddy Hield's a top 50, 60 guy. So just people are down on him, but I think that's exactly what makes him a sleeper this season. Jamal Murray had a decent game, but he's another guy I don't expect to get me a lot of steals and blocks. And people may be overrating him at this point because of his bubble performance. Would I really go with Jamal Murray when I can maybe go for Zach LaVine instead, which can both be had around the same range? I don't think so. And I really made the argument to somebody just yesterday that they were criticizing Zach LaVine because he's never been to the playoffs. But I honestly think if you swapped Zach LaVine and Jamal Murray, the Nuggets would still have the same success they've had, and the Bulls would have still had the same lack of success. So I think I'd rather go with someone like Zach LaVine. Jamal Murray just has a more limited upside because there's so many mouths to feed on that team, and I think he's going to have less usage. So keep that in mind. Will Barton, somebody you can grab really late, but there was some reports that he is not happy coming off of the bench and that he pretty much is demanding to be a starter. So we'll see how that plays out, because if he comes off the bench, he may demand a trade. And if he gets traded to a different situation where he gets high usage, he would gain a ton of value. Just like Gary Harris in the past, he's been a top fantasy basketball contributor, but dealt with some. Monte Morris was notable to me, had 4 assists. Monte Morris
had a steal and a block, 0 turnovers, and in my opinion, he's one of the better backup point guards in the NBA. Somebody I would consider picking up in 16 teams or deeper for his ability to help your team in limited minutes. I would like him a whole lot more if there were an injury. I'm not wishing an injury on anybody, of course, but his value would go up tremendously if there were an injury to, say, somebody like Jamal Murray on that team. PJ Dozier scored 15 points in limited minutes, played only about 18 minutes, made 5 of his 8 shots. That was definitely notable to me. He was a bucket out there while he was playing, so I don't expect him to get enough minutes to really help your team outside of a really deep format. But still, very notable performance. Facundo Campazzo. Including him here, he didn't get a whole lot of minutes, but his coach did say that he considers him one of the best passers in the world. And in only 9 minutes, he got you 3 assists, a steal, and a block. He was plus 12 in those limited minutes. So he's somebody that we may see in the conversation to get a bigger role. His coach seems to believe in him. Some people I trust, their basketball opinions have told me he's an amazing out of this world passer, which means he could be a guy you target in a really deep league for his ability to get assists. He got you 3 in just 9 minutes. The steal and the block is nice. He only had 1 turnover. So he's somebody else that you may want to consider if you're like a 20 team league and you're picking from no name role players. He's a name to keep an eye on. Another name to keep an eye on in a really deep league is my boy Bobo, the son, baby boy of Manute Bol. He was plus 10 in limited minutes, scored 10 points and only played 5 minutes. So he was out there scoring, took 7 shots in those 5 minutes, made 4 of them, 6 rebounds, an assist. He's a guy that has the potential to get you some blocks as well. He's a very tall guy, very skilled, probably not going to have a sizable role on this team because of their depth. But who knows, if the Nuggets secure a very high seed towards the end of the year, we may see him get significant playing time during your fantasy playoffs. So he's somebody to keep an eye on, especially if you're in a deeper format for right now. I'd say maybe 18 teams or deeper. All right, guys, that was the nightly notables for the slate of games on 12/16/2020. You can now also catch this in audio format on my website, BarackLesnarHoops.com. I actually want to show you that. Let me show you that. All right, so I've revamped my website. I have it updated, Barack Lesnar Hoops. And I want you to go ahead and bookmark this website, because you're going to see I uploaded these before I made the video, and you'll be able to come and see who I've identified and get a leg up on people before the video's even out. So go ahead and bookmark this page. That's another way that you can support the program. I make a lot of different posts, which you can see here, and a lot of text-based posts that are going to help you. If you don't have time to watch a whole video, the video's included as well. But if you rather read, I have some really great content for you to check out that's going to get you really on point as far as fantasy basketball. And I'm going to continue to upload content as the season goes on. Something else that you can check on this website, you can scroll all the way to the bottom. You can click right here. All right. You can find my social media pages. If you want to follow the YouTube channel, which I'm assuming you already are, you can go there. If you want to follow the Facebook group, or you can actually click right here, Brock Lesnar Hoops Fantasy Basketball Group, and it will take you to the group. And as you can see, the group is growing. It only had 50 members about a week ago, and now we're up to 142. So let's grow this group. We have a really great community so far. Really sharp basketball minds, people from Reddit NBA, people from Overstated NBA, people from all over the world, giving great fantasy advice, and a lot of people that implement the strategies that I preach. I'm trying to create the best fantasy basketball group on Facebook. So please check out the website. One more thing you can check out on BrockLesnarHoops.com. You can check out the audio version of my video content. I'm doing it in podcast form, and you can find it right here at BrockLesnarHoops.com. Just click right here, Brock Lesnar Hoops Fantasy Basketball Podcast. You can bookmark that page. And when I upload the audio version, it'll be there, and you can definitely check that out. I'll try to upload daily for your enjoyment. Again, for those of you who commute, who maybe don't want to sit through a whole video, this one is for you. For my listeners on podcast, please give me a like. Please share this podcast with people not in your league, because I know you guys like to keep me a secret, but the secret's starting to get out there. Just so you know, based on how I'm seeing people drafting, I think more and more people are starting to listen to some of my drafting advice. I don't know if anyone else has noticed that, but I'm starting to notice it. But maybe it's just my ego. Maybe it's just hubris. Who knows? Definitely check out the website. Check out the Facebook group. I showed you how to do it. Again, just scroll to the bottom. Go right here. Follow me on social media, and just some stuff if you want to find my older articles, the podcast right here, just teaching you how to navigate the website. I worked on it to make it a little easier to navigate, a little more enjoyable, a little more streamlined. Please like this video if you haven't yet. Please subscribe to Brock Lesnar Hoops if you have not yet. I still hope to reach 1,400 subscribers before the season starts on the 22nd. So if you could help me with that, that would be highly appreciated. As always, this is Brock Lesnar of Brock Lesnar Hoops. All the love and the appreciation for you loyal subscribers of this channel, and you loyal viewers who may not have subscribed yet but still support my content, whether on YouTube, Facebook, Reddit, wherever it is that you interact with my content. Thank you, much appreciation, and I hope to see you tomorrow. Take care.